Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have with me today the legend that is Gail Crossley. Hello to you.
Hello. Thank you for that compliment.
For the benefit of those that have not come across you before, and I can't believe there are not many, you've been doing this a while now. Just give us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
I started my career as an auditor with Arthur Andersen in Cleveland, Ohio, in the U.S. For those of you who live in the U.S., you know that Cleveland is a very difficult climate. So I packed my bags and left and moved to Atlanta and went with Pricewaterhouse as an auditor. So I became a CPA. And after that, I actually did a career pivot and went into IBM in sales, marketing, and new product development. And I spent a dozen years there. And so I have a fairly heavy technology background. And so through these years, I learned how to grow things, how to get them off the ground, how to get them through their early stages, and all the way up to very large organizations. When the dot-com bust happened, there was nothing left. I was still a CPA, still kept up my CPE. And I said, you know, maybe CPA firms would like to know how to grow better. I didn't know just what level of sophistication they were until I did some interviews. The rest is history. I launched the firm. And what I do is I transform accounting firms into high growth environments.
How much has the game changed, Gail, over the years?
I would say the most significant changes, Rob, have been in the last 5 to 7 years.
Right.
And that's because of the technology innovation that's going on. And it's an accelerating rate of change now.
We were chatting to a guy called Bill Reeb and Tommy Berry from the Success Institute, yeah. Whom you'll know. They were on the show last week. And they were saying that the accounting profession had accelerated 5 years forward in the last 6 months, given the tough times we're in. Would you go along with that kind of acceleration?
Absolutely. It's been an awareness of and requirement for change and going virtual and all the things that that entails. The interesting thing about it is that when I left technology a couple of decades ago, we were already doing these things. And when I came back over here, it was like going back several years. And so now we're just catching up to the rest of industry.
Well, we talk a lot about growth on this show and technology, but we don't really put them together. So in your view, how are growth and technology connected?
Up until about 5 or 6 years ago, Rob, they weren't connected very tightly. In fact, I had to put all my technology background on the shelf. The only connection there really was CRM. And then the cloud that hit us a few years ago changed all that. It looked so benign at the time, you know, a place to put files and share them with your client. It was way more than that. And as a result, now technology has moved from the back room to the front room. And it not only drives the back room, but now in the front room, it is part and parcel to all of our services and will become even more so integrated with our services and taking us beyond our services into technology-based consultative services that we are bringing to market and will continue to do so. So it is at the epicenter of growth right now.
Yeah. And what's driving that? Is it the clients themselves pushing it for it? Is it the firms from within or are the vendors in fintech pushing the growth and technology onto the firm?
Neither.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing that drove it was the cloud. What happened with the cloud is people became aware that it did one thing that we didn't realize that completely changed the landscape, and that is it gave us unlimited capacity.
Okay.
Capacity for data and data storage, unlimited computing power. That's why cryptocurrency and blockchain has taken off, and unlimited telecommunications capacity. Then there was a growing awareness that, oh my gosh, we don't have any limit to the data sets. We don't have any limit to the communications capability, and we don't have any limit to the processing power. And so it was that that drove then the interest in the buyer group and in the vendor group in terms of what now can we do with all of them.
We talk about cloud, but we've got some evidence here in the UK that says there's still only a very small percentage of accounting firms are digital, although everyone's talking about it, and perhaps it's the same in the US. So what is halting them to adopt some of these technologies that you're talking about? Because they know they need them, right?
Yes, yes. It isn't so much what's halting them as much as the natural progression of the adoption of innovation. And the adoption of innovation of anything is a bell curve. A guy named named Everett Rogers is the one who first discovered it. And it's been the foundation of technology innovation writings for years. And so what you're seeing is we're at the very beginning where we have the innovators innovating and they're getting early adopters on board. And it's just that we're not around the curve yet with the early majority, the late majority, and the laggards. But eventually we will get there.
When you look at the client base of accounting firms, will they be pushing for some change? Because back in the day, we didn't have digital natives, but now these people are owning firms. They're coming up, the millennials, the Gen X, Gen Zs. They are the clients now of accounting firms, and they must be driving this as much as anyone for more cloud and digital technology.
We see it, but it's in the early stages because these digital savvy people now, they aren't quite yet the top banana in the company.
Love that phrase.
They're influencing, but they're not deciding yet.
Now, we're in COVID times. We can't ignore how crazy things are at the moment. Have you ever known anything like this in your career?
No. And the thing that makes it different is came on top of an already very complex environment where we had major changes in technology, in regulation, and competition. And now we have economic conditions changing and all of those together and COVID itself and what it's done relative to how we need to do business. It's all those things combined that has caused it to be so significant.
You mentioned change there three or four times, all the different changes that are going on. Accountants, CPAs as a breed, how do they cope with change, do you feel?
They cope with change like the rest of the world does, which is the human body does not like change. It's natural to not like change, except for those, I think it's 2.5%, which are the innovators. Not only do they like change, but they embrace it. They're the outliers. They're not the norm. And they're the ones that are the inventors that are showing the way, so to speak.
So let's address that question. How has COVID impacted the technology choices that we make to grow a firm's revenue?
Wow. It has dawned upon us, although we haven't totally grappled with it yet, that developing opportunities, clients, prospects is going to be digital. It's going to be virtual. And we haven't quite gotten there. I mean, we've been slowly adopting that with our current client base. Firms right now have not yet realized that you don't have to lay hands on a prospect in order to develop a closed business. You don't have to do that, but it's going to require rewiring of your own brain and then retraining of clients and the prospects.
And you bring up an interesting point, Gail. When we look at sales and business development, these are not terms that come comfortably to accountants. So they might argue that I've just got my head around networking and asking for referrals and attending events and building my pipeline that way. Now you're asking me to drop that because that's not really working anymore in a COVID world. And you're asking me to do it without actually shaking hands with someone. That's a big step for them, isn't it?
Well, it is. But the big step is in your mind because All those things can be done virtually or not. And actually, this whole networking and referral approach is outdated anyway. In other words, when I talk to firms and I transform them, that's a tactical approach, which we've been using for years and it worked in a simpler environment. The objective there, Rob, is to catch one fish at a time. What I teach them is to not fish with a cane pole, but with a net and go from referral sources to distribution channels. And when you go to distribution channels, the objective is to find the fish in great quantities and use a net and do it through mechanisms where you and they find each other in great quantities. And that can be all digital. In fact, it's very effective because digital allows you to find fish in great quantities. So it has to do with being more sophisticated, how you go about it, because the world is more sophisticated and our profession is a mature profession that requires that complexity.
Yeah, it makes good sense. So if we unpack that digital marketing growth approach, what kind of tactics or strategies would a firm deploy in there?
So all the firms basically are doing Zoom live videos, right?
Yeah.
They're reaching out to their clients, friends of the firm, with the objective of driving visibility and credibility. And that's it. But there are firms that are more forward thinking that are going beyond that with the objective being to drive revenue. And how do they do that? They realize their own database is very limited to just current clients and friends of the firm. And they're saying, wait a minute, I want to capture the market. So they focus in on who has a database that's greater bigger than my database? And how can I partner with them so we can reach our live videos into a broader market? An example would be in the construction space. If you do a live video in the construction space and you are able to find a supplier of building materials to that construction space, and you're able to collaborate with them so that they show up with their database, you show up with your database, and together you do a live video, and now you have access to a greater market. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah. And you're harking back to the days of referral sources, referral partners, introducers, audience holders, but we just broker those partnerships in a different way now, don't we?
Absolutely. Because now it isn't about sitting with a banker or a lawyer and catching one fish at a time. Mm-hmm. It's rather finding a distribution channel like a supplier of building materials, aligning your interests with their interests and figuring out how you can achieve their interests and your interests at the same time.
Now, you focus on growth when you consult into accounting firms, Gail. What does a growth consultant do?
My practice in the transformation of a firm actually is a mix of various types of communications required in order to persuade and influence and get adoption. We're asking our accountants to become consultants, but this is a very significant shift for them, because what a lot of them don't realize is that consulting requires this set of communication skills to persuade and influence and lead the client down a path. You have to be able to have six different things that you do, because you've got to serve up your content in any way that they can get it. You need to learn to interview people, to facilitate groups, to coach people, to speak in front of audiences, to train people, and to either write or get yourself a good ghostwriter who can write. So when I work with clients, I will be serving up advice and counsel and process and workshop to get them transformed and feed up the course of knowledge. Just like when they went to school and became an accountant and an auditor or tax person, it's a course of knowledge.
Yeah. Are accounting firms, in your opinion, able to articulate the pain that they are feeling with growth, or do you have to go in there and tease that out of them and tell them what they need?
Interestingly, growth often is a symptom, and growth might not be the problem. They'll say, we're not growing. We don't know why we're not growing. We think we know why we're not growing. And the first thing I'll do is get in there, and often it will be a facilitated strategic session where we'll evaluate what they've been doing, where they are now, where they'd like to go. And through that process, I can determine what the issue is. And sometimes it's a growth-related issue, but often it isn't. It's something way beyond growth, that growth is just the manifestation.
When I ask accounting firms who their competition are, they will cite external firms in their region or whatever, but very seldom do they understand their apathy or culture or their processes or their complacency or arrogance is their actual competition. Do you see that in your role?
I love that. Very well put. They get in their own way.
And yeah.
It's funny, Rob, because the first thing we'll do in a strategic planning session, we're going to evaluate our growth and our relationship with it and what we think about it, and do we want to do it or not?
Yeah.
And so we'll explore that. And it's so easy to sit and say, yeah, I want to grow. And I'll say, well, let me show you what that looks like. Let me show you the hard work involved. And let me show you how you have to move it from extracurricular to core curriculum. And in core curriculum, you get a grade. And market will either reward you or not. And that grade can be very harsh or it can be very wonderful. And so are you prepared for that? And this is where the rubber meets the road with all those things that you're just talking about. Talk is cheap. And let's see if you're going to walk the walk, shall we say.
Yeah, I love that analogy of the marketplace will give you a grade, because it has to become core, doesn't it? You're asking fee earners to now become business developers.
Yes. And now we have competition that is coming more and more from outside influences and influencers, especially in the consulting space, especially in the attestation, the non-financial statement attestation space, you know, is a big area in the wealth management space and grabbing tax work. And you know, we've got these influences that we see now, but just wait, and we're all going to see nibbling at the side by all these other various competitors.
That's a really good point. They're getting that erosion of market share and people inching in on their turf, if you like. But also we're seeing downward pressure on compliance fees, which has been the bread and butter of accounting firms for so long. So you're right. They need to move into that consulting, that trusted advisor space, don't they?
Yes, we are showing the classic signs of a fat cat. The product life cycle, which is a piece of work done by the Boston Consulting Group many years ago. And they said markets are predictable, that revenues will plane out and margins will thin, and you are called a fat cat. As a result, you either go the way of the buggy whip or you become relevant. So there are certain strategic imperatives when you're a fat cat, and they are to drive innovation and drive efficiency. And so if you don't know this, you're not going to be doing that.
And how do you deal with complacency in firms that say to you, well, Gail, we're growing, but we're growing from our existing client base. We're cross-selling, we're upselling to them. We're so busy right now. Everything's going great. But you know that they haven't got a pipeline of new business coming in. You know that there's limits on what they will get from their existing client base, but you can't make them see that.
Yeah, well, I have a little exercise that I show them when I started this consultancy many years ago. I got to know the firms in my geography, and I'm in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I got to know the top 25 pretty well. And I put a check mark next to the ones that I didn't think would be here in the future.
Whoa.
And they are all gone except for one. They've all been merged up. I tell them, if you choose this path, this is what the experience is. And if you choose this path, this is what the experience is going to be. And so you decide, but let's not stick our head in the sand and pretend like all is well, because your job is to have one eye on the present and the other eye on the future.
Yeah.
You as partners don't have the other eye on the future, then the future will take you there, but you won't be taking you there.
And part of the problem is this elegant business model that accounting firms have with recurring revenue. Companies need them to keep them out of jail and all of this compliance and regulatory stuff. But that world's changing, isn't it, Gail?
Well, the change is that they're going to need us in a way where if you're the most innovative and the most efficient, you're going to be the preferred provider.
Yeah.
And so what happens when one day you wake up and your competitor across the street is using AI and machine learning within their audits, and they come in and they bid their audit at a third of what yours is, and they're using bots and all kinds of things like that. And so you still got the good old elbow grease and the good old way that it used to be done, and you come in at $100,000 and the competitor comes in at 30, or you come in at 30 and the competitor comes in at 10.
Yeah.
And you no longer say, well, our audit is better and it's more complete or whatever like that. It's like, wait a minute. No, it's not true. They're using AI and they're not even doing sampling. They are evaluating the entire data set and you're still over here only doing sampling, and they're giving insights that go deeply beyond the trial balance, and you're not doing that.
It's frightening. So get your crystal ball out for us, Gail. What do you see coming up for accounting firms over the next few years, particularly those that want to grow?
The ones that want to grow are the ones that realize that growth is a functional discipline that requires knowledge, just like audit or tax. And it's principles-based. As a former auditor, I'm all about principles-based. And growth has a certain set of principles that aren't codified necessarily. And once you know what the principles are, they are as immutable as debit, left, credit, right. And when you know that, when you know the three elements of strategy, SCT, you know about alignment, you know what a good channel looks like, product life cycle and the adoption curve and all these things, and you know what the implications are, then you've got the knowledge to execute. That's what the firms are doing. They're truly looking at it as the discipline of practice growth and not the extracurricular activity when we have time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Just briefly explain what SCT is, Gail.
SCT are the three elements of strategy, and it's like a combination lock that you have to have exactly the combination in order to open up the strategy safe. The service that you're going to provide is one element. If you can think of it as three circles, that would be
like a Venn diagram.
Yeah. Well, not Venn. Actually, they're uniquely separate.
Okay, right.
S is here at the left, and then T is over on the right, and that's the target. What's the target audience? What's the or buyer group. So this is the service, that's the target. And in the middle is the distribution channel, how you and buyers find each other in great quantities. So what is your service? What is your target? And what is this distribution channel through which you're going to find those targets in great quantities? You've got to have it so finitely described in your head and in actuality so that you can get down to the very granular level of your SCT to know that that's how, what your strategy is for growth.
Love that. So thinking of the accountants of the future that will embrace this growth mindset, you talked about knowledge, but what attributes and skills are they going to need to adopt to be competitive?
Well, it's a great question, Rob, because it's not an incremental, well, I'll go and get some more CPE.
Yeah.
They're going to need to adopt a mind shift that's different from a calendar-driven compliance mindset. When you're calendar-driven and compliance-oriented, you are deadline-driven and the calendar is driving your deadlines. And this is the enemy of the consultative skills and behaviors that you will need. You're going to need things like an ability to look into the future and envision it. You're going to need the ability to initiate action. And when your calendar isn't initiating everything for you, you're not growing an initiation muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Going to need persuasive communication skills, and you're going to need to know the principles of product management, which is the functional area that drives innovation. How to get an early adopter program together is an example. How to get something commercialized. These are principles of product management.
Yeah. Gail, this is really eye-opening. You're very passionate in your approach to this. What do you love most about what you do?
Wow. Can I say everything? The entirety of transforming a firm and all the piece parts. And when a few years later, they say, we grew X percent last year, and the reason is because of you. I had one of my graduate firms just ended up at the top of the list of the fastest organic growing CPA firms in the country.
Gail, this has been terrific. If people want to find out more about the great stuff that you're doing, what's a good way for them to reach you?
My website, crosleycompany.com, is the place to go.
And finally, Gail, what advice would you give to the accountants listening? They do want to drive growth in their firm. Perhaps they're coming up against people senior in the firm, they're a little bit old in the head, and they don't quite embrace this growth culture, but they do want to drive some change, maybe from the bottom up. What would you say to them?
The way to get movement is to educate. The more that you understand the topic, the more appreciation you'll have for it. And as a result, what I would do if I were in a firm is I would start feeding articles to them. I would start getting, you know, presentations, podcasts. This particular interview would be a good example of getting it in front of the leaders in the firm and others who can influence the firm, or if you are a leader in the firm, to get it in front of the partner group and just continue to educate and up-level the knowledge. And I have a book called At the Crossroads that would be an excellent place to start, because it's a fable of two accounting firms, one that is growing and one that isn't. And what are the attributes and implications? And I've been told it's a good read because it's kind of like a novel and entertaining.
Fantastic. We'll look out for that. Well, Gail Crossley, that's been superb. Thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Thank you, Rob. I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world-class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.